Hey, good morning, everybody. We're going to wrap up declarative prayer part five today. It's probably not part five and how many times it's taken, but it's part five in my notes. And before I get there, I just want to tell you this morning, I'm full, man. I am so full. I just woke up in a good place, and I'm so grateful for the blessing of the Lord in my life. And he really spoke to me this morning to share this with you. If you've never marked this in your Bible, Jeremiah 29:11, if you've never marked that, you need to mark it. Now, I heard a preacher years ago said, Jeremiah 29:11, on your worst day, will lift your head up. And this is a message directly for you this morning from the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Another translation says, I have good plans for you, plans to give you a hope. So Jeremiah 29:11, you need to mark that and memorize it. When you start feeling down and out, you need to say it out loud. God has good plans for me. You want to say that with me? God has good plans for me. If you can receive that this morning, I can't tell you. I mean, it's hard sometimes to put into words when the Spirit is moving and working inside of you and you're wanting to share that. I'm just going to trust God to come out of my mouth the way he wants it to come to you this morning. But we're wrapping up declarative prayer, and today we're going to declare the finished work of the cross. I want you to understand something. This is much greater today to me than just a new method of how to pray or a new tool in your tool belt, man. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the complete and finished work of the cross. It is what establishes our faith. If we didn't have the finished work of the cross, we wouldn't have Christianity. We wouldn't have forgiveness. We wouldn't have a destiny in heaven. We wouldn't have the blessings on the earth as we walk this path today. This is the gospel. It is simple, it is pure, and it is powerful. And so our goal has been to become men who pray with power. James 5:16 says this, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I want to tell you, if you don't believe in the finished work of the cross, you don't believe you're a righteous man, then you can't accomplish much. Do you hear me? This is the best message that's ever been preached in all of time and will ever be preached ever or sent out to anyone ever. Jesus finished the work. There's nothing left for you to do except believe in what he did. And today, if we can take that truth and apply it as a prayer, as a way to distribute literally the blessings of God through our words in prayer, it's going to take you to the next level. You're going to become a powerful man of prayer. So we talked about that, the effective prayer. It's fervent, it's effective, it's energetic, it's from a deep place of the Holy Spirit operating inside of you. It's an energy that's more than emotion. It comes from the depths of the inner man where the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And when you tap into that energy, you're tapping into the complete and finished work of the cross and the power of the kingdom of God. So, let's get with it. The real issue to me that keeps people from praying is they think prayer is a religious activity rather than a relational activity. See, what you're doing is listening to your Father and saying what he's saying. You're agreeing with him. You hear him through the word. You just got a word this morning. Jeremiah 29:11, God has good plans for me. That ought to be enough to take you for about 50 years. I mean, just one word. But God's speaking continually. He's speaking to his children. He's always feeding you his word. He's always quenching your thirst with his word. He's always speaking through the Holy Spirit, and prayer then becomes this relational activity. It's not some kind of formula to get what I want. It's a way for me to come into agreement with what the Father is doing right now through the Holy Spirit in the earth. And we've said this over and over. I'll say it again. Praying with power comes by agreeing with God's word and truth. So when we come into agreement with the written word, when we come into agreement with the rhema word, what is the Spirit speaking to you today? In Romans, we see the paradigm that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the rhema, the current spoken Holy Spirit-inspired word of God. That's how you step into faith. You've got to hear it, and when you hear it, receive it, then you step into a whole new level of faith. Some of you are up against barriers in your life, and you can't understand why you can't overcome them. It's because you need to slow down enough to hear the Holy Spirit speak so you can come into agreement with it. And that's what this whole declarative prayer series has been about, listening and speaking, listening and speaking. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. And we're not going to go back over Matthew 6, 9 through 13, but that's the Lord's Prayer. And we've talked about how that's more of a declaration than it is a request. And I want you to know, if you haven't heard that yet, you can go back into our app under Men's Ministry and you can find Brave Hearts, you can find the Declarative Prayer Series, and you can catch up on that. So Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is the Lord's Prayer. At the end of chapter 6, this is what Jesus says. And I think we reach the end of the chapter and we see what Jesus is really after. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Here's what I want to say to you. We can fully expect him to provide what we need. We're not beggars. We're not pleading. We're not hoping and wishing. We are confident sons that our dad has already made provision for us. All he says is, seek first my kingdom. And what are all the things that will be added to you? It's all the natural provision. If you go read the rest of it, it's all the natural things you need. Shelter, clothing, transportation, whatever you need. God's already got it taken care of. We spend so much time worrying about the things that God's already promised us that we couldn't advance the kingdom if we wanted to. Because we're so busy thinking about the things he's already said we have. It really doesn't make any sense if you think about it. How much time do you spend trying to make more money or gain more influence or acquire more power in this life? When Jesus says, I've given you all the money you need, you'll have more than enough influence, and I will make you powerful if you'll just submit to me. But we spend all this time trying to conjure that up in our own natural ways, and it's just foolishness. All you got to do is seek first the kingdom. What does that look like? Well, it probably looks like your nose on the carpet every morning saying, God, I'm nobody, I need you. That kind of looks like seeking first the kingdom to me. It's not like going, well, look at how big and bad and good I am. You know what I mean? Stop it. Even in this room today, men walk in and try to impress each other. Why? You're not that impressive. I'm not either. But Jesus is very impressive. We're only here to make him famous, not you. You just get to ride along on his coattails. Could you just get happy with being a follower? You're just part of the entourage. You're not the man. You're just a follower. You're never going to be the leader. Jesus is the leader. Does he let you lead with him? Of course. Does he give you gifts? And does it look like you're the man in certain situations? Yes, but if you ever think you're the man, you'll lose that position in the kingdom. Now, in the world, it's a whole different deal. I don't care about the world. That's not who we are. The world has its own system, but we're talking about the kingdom of God, and the destiny that God has for you is beyond belief, yet as we preach about it and say, well, it's not about you, you think, well, you just said God had good plans for me. Yeah, but the goal is not your exaltation. The good plan in your life is not to exalt you, it's to exalt Jesus. And I think we need to get back to that simplicity. Man, when I get in that zone, there's a lot less stress because I just go, hey, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Like, that's all you gotta do? Yeah. Jesus might say, Brent, milk them cows, you know? Jesus might say, Jerry, take care of the business you're a part of. He might say, Bill, I want you to start a new business. I don't know what Jesus is going to tell you today, but I know a few things he's going to tell you. Simply believe that I am more powerful than any person, any institution, anything. Could you come back to the simplicity today of believing that what I did, Jesus would say to you, what I did on the cross is enough forever. See, I died. I paid the penalty for your sin. I rose, which proves that death cannot overtake you any longer. I then ascended into heaven. And when I went back to heaven, I sent back the Holy Spirit so you could live full of power and purpose. Oh, man, could you just believe that today? Jesus would say to every one of us. And we go, yeah, I think I can. Well, then you can go stress-free, carefree, worry-free. In that same passage of scripture in there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus just says, don't worry about anything. I've got this. He's the only one who can say, I've got this. But every man in this room wants to be able to say sometimes, I got this. That's Antichrist. You ain't got this. Christ has got this. So seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, and then you will be exalted. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says, if you will submit to yourself to Jesus and then to his governing authorities on the earth, he's specifically talking in that passage, 1 Peter 5, about the governing authorities in the church. If you will submit yourself to them, it says, then God himself will exalt you at the proper time. God is not trying to just wipe you out. He's trying to get you to a humble place where when he exalts you, what shines through you is not you, it's Jesus. But you get the benefit of being exalted. There's lots of blessing with exaltation. Are y'all following me? It's not in my notes, it's in my heart. When we understand the way Jesus actually taught us and his followers to pray, it changes from hoping and wishing to complete confidence. God's got this. My life is in good hands. I'm going to have a great day. Woo, hallelujah. So we've talked about five different things. Declare who God is. Declare how we feel about him. Declare the defeat of the enemy. Declare the triumph of God. Declare the finished and complete work of the cross today. So now I'm going to step into this last concept. Declare the finished and complete work of the cross. I'm going to read you some key scriptures from the New Testament that described what took place at the cross and how it is finished. And I'm just going to ask you to relax and enjoy, because this word is going to fill you. And if you could just open your heart, the truth of the gospel will wake you up like no cup of coffee ever could. Hebrews 10, 11 through 14. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. This is talking about the old system. But he, this is Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Declare the finished work of the cross once and for all. Did you see this? One sacrifice for sins for all time. And then it goes forward to say he's waiting for his enemies to be placed as a footstool under his feet. In this illustration, you are the feet of Jesus. He wants you to step forth and crush Satan's head by the choices you make, by the faith that you have, by the restful, peaceful belief you live in, then you get to be a part of the execution team. You get to take that enemy and say, enough is enough. And that's fun, man. That's fun. And it's not because you're hot snot, man. It's just because Jesus is cool. He's going to use you. We are the body of Christ. And it says he's waiting. From the time he finished the work, he sat down. I only know one time in Scripture he says he stood back up, and that's to honor Stephen, a man of God who gave his life in a similar fashion as a sacrifice for all mankind and his generation to hear the gospel. Other than that, Jesus is seated. He's seated because he's finished. You know what you do after a long day's work? You want to come home, find your favorite recliner and a glass of, on a hot day, on a hot summer day, on a finished work, sit down with a cool glass of iced tea and put your feet up. Sit down, baby. That's the perpetual state of Jesus Christ. He finished the hard work, and he's seated. And he's just waiting for all of us to come into agreement with what he did. It's a belief. It's not an action. Your belief will come out with actions, but it's a belief internally that what I just read is true. Could it be that simple? Once and for all, it is finished. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they put their belief and faith in him. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Declare the finished work of the cross in Christ. I'm a new creation. You know what Kirby talked about? The special anointing we believe God's going to give at men's retreat to help you be free from your past. It's not that you're not already in truth free from your past. It's that you don't believe it yet. It's done. It's finished. The old dirty, rotten scoundrel you used to be is not who you are anymore. Because when you met Christ, you became new. And so the anointing that we're believing, it's not like a new revelation. It's not like a new scripture is going to be revealed. It's not like Jesus is going to show up in some different way than he ever has for the last 2,000 years. We're just saying we believe he's spoken specifically a rhema word to us. At this retreat, there's going to be a special ability and an environment created for men to step into faith and belief that Jesus destroyed your past. You can walk free. Oh, my goodness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Declare the finished work of the cross. Say it with me. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God. Try it again. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God. That's a huge, huge truth. How many of you failed recently? Sinned. Did you feel right? No, you didn't feel right, but you still were right because that sin was already paid for before you ever committed it. Now, the Apostle Paul would clearly say, where sin abounds, grace abounds. So should I sin all the more? And he's like, no, that's stupid. Because sin always brings negative consequences. But the measure of whether you believe if you're righteous or not is the last time you failed. How long did it take you to get over it? How much did you beat yourself up to pay for that sin? How much guilt did you put upon yourself? How much condemnation did you speak to yourself in the mirror when you woke up in the morning? Man, I'm just so messed up. I'm such a loser. I could never get this right. That is not the voice of the Spirit in you. That's the voice of Satan manifesting in your heart. Because Jesus would never say that to you. Jesus would never speak anything but kind, uplifting, gentle, power words to you about who you are. Powerful words to you about who you are. You sinned. Jesus would say, shake it off. That's not who you are. Get back up on that horse, son. Ride again. Don't let that hold you back. I've already paid for that. I knew you were going to stumble anyway. I knew you were going to bite it hard. I knew you were going to run your nose into that brick wall, but I'm here and I'm telling you that's not who you are. You're a man of righteousness. You're full of truth. You have the manifestation of power and right thinking inside of your head. You are pure and holy and good. Excuse me, good. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what does that mean? Made right. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Declare the finished work of the cross. In Christ, I have peace with God. Colossians 1:20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, declare the finished work of the cross. In Christ, I have peace with God. How many of you feel peaceful? How many of you feel anxious? The blood of Jesus declares that you can be in peace. It says, by the blood of his cross, I'm at peace with God. Well, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I just thought. I don't care. Neither does Jesus. He says, you're okay, son. I love you. Put that behind you. Let it go. Walk in who I say you are. Walk in the peace that you have. Galatians 4, and we're almost done. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Declare the finished work of the cross in Christ. Say it with me. I am a son of God. Did you see what sonship brought you? Intimacy. Abba means daddy. You see what intimacy brought you? A position in the kingdom. Do you see what the righteousness of Jesus brought you? Do you see what the cross afforded for you? The adoption process says you are not just brought in and taken care of like you're some poor little charity case. It says, no, you're my son and you're my heir. Everything I have belongs to you. Receive it and walk in it. You don't have to wait for me to die, Jesus said, because I already did. Come on. When does the inheritance get released to the children? Well, it's when dad croaks. Yeah. Come on. When he dies, right? Yeah. Yeah. Come on. That's natural. Yeah. But that's the way it works. The inheritance doesn't get released until the one who owns it all dies and releases. The will can be read, and it can be distributed. You know, the favorite ones always get the most, right? I'm here to tell you today I'm God's favorite. How about you? God's the only one who can have a billion favorites at the same time. Are you waiting for the inheritance? Why? He already died. It wasn't saying Revelation, who could break the seal and open this up and release it, man? Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm endowed with strength. I'm endowed with blessing. I'm full and overflowing. Why? Because Jesus died. Release the inheritance. I don't have to wait to become wealthy in the kingdom of God. I'm wealthy already. Because daddy already died. Ooh, come on. Grandpa done kicked the bucket. But Jesus, he didn't stay dead. He rose back up from the dead. And now he celebrates with you as you step into your inheritance. The only thing required to receive your inheritance is one little word, belief or faith. Can you believe this stuff I'm telling you today? Then you're wealthy beyond measure in the kingdom of God. Praying with power comes by agreeing with God's word and truth. See, when you believe, then you can, if you truly believe, it's easy to speak life. It's easy to speak life in the face of death. It's easy to speak healing in the face of sickness. It's easy to speak prosperity in the throes of depression. It's easy to speak life when everything around you looks negative. You can bring forth the word because you believe in Jesus. Your inheritance is secure. Our inheritance is not the things of this world. He promises to provide all the stuff we need, but the goal is not you becoming exalted in the world. The goal is Jesus becoming exalted in the world. And you get to ride along on his coattails, enjoying all the benefits of who he is. Oh, am I going to grow in monetary wealth? You better believe it, because God wants to give money to people who will use it to advance his kingdom. Am I going to grow in influence? You better believe it, because God wants to use a voice like mine to influence the world. Come on, come on. Can you believe like that? Can you receive that kind of faith? Because it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus came to redeem you, and he wants to exalt you. It doesn't matter what your past was like, what your family says about you. You are God's man in this hour. You're a select arrow drawn out of the quiver, put into the bow and extended, and he's about ready to release you into your destiny in the kingdom. Can you believe? It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old today or 15 years old today in this room. God has a powerful destiny in this life for his kingdom in you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. The only question is whether you can agree with this gospel, whether you can believe and step into this gospel. It's not a one-man show. You're not meant to do it alone. That's why we're here together. That's why we're called the body. One individual cell of my body set off by itself on its own will die. But in agreement with the rest of the body, it can thrive. You got to connect with the other men in this room, in this church, where God has placed you in the body. You will never realize anything I'm talking about alone. But together, we will blow the doors off of this place and release the power of the kingdom into our local predicament, into our city, into our county, into our region, into our state. Oh, God's calling other people to do the same thing in other places, but we need to focus right here, right now. Can you believe in Jesus? This truth not only saves you, but it sustains you. And more than that, it transforms you. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to declare the finished work of the cross over addictions, over sin patterns, over anxiety, over depression, over lies, over your past. We're going to say over one another at our tables in just a moment, it is finished. You can go free from that bondage now. It is finished. You're a son. You can receive your inheritance today. Can you guys come into agreement with this? Declare the complete and finished work of the cross. Will you pray with me? Lord, let your word manifest. Let your truth prevail. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Let us not have a normal, usual day. Let us have a kingdom empowered, spirit-filled, life-giving, miracle-working day right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.